The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio, or its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Welcome to the Cindy Hearn Show. I don't want to know what's on your mind. I want to know what's in it. Your mind matters. And this is a show that's all about the landscape of the mind. It's all about the you of you. What's going on inside. And how to be able to access more of the wonderment which lies within. The Cindy Hearn Show. I don't want to know what's on your mind. I want to know what's in it. Your mind matters. So the way that this show works, it's all about exploring the landscape of the mind. And if you imagine we live in more than one world, we have the world around us, where we are now, what we're doing, what we did, what we're going to do, who we're with. But as well, we have the world within, your thoughts, your ideas, your inspirations, your gut reaction, your knowledge, your wisdom, your curiosities, and so much more. And we are taught how to go out into the world, how to make that work, and seldom taught how to go into the inner world and make that work for us as well. And this, our time together, is all about exploring that inner world. Most of us are battered about by our minds, but that's because we tend to stay on the surface of who we are. And in this time together, we go a bit deeper inside. And it's like, you know, if you're in the ocean and there's a storm on the top of the ocean and the wind's blowing and the waves are high and it's very rocky sailing. As you sink further, further, further down into the sea, the motion gets quieter and quieter. And it's the same with the mind. When we stay on the surface of ourselves, we're battered about by the storms of our thought, by the struggles of our feelings. But as we learn to take that deeper dive, we're able to go down to where not only can we draw from innate wisdom, but as well get a greater understanding of what's going around on the surface of ourselves. The Cindy Hearn Show. I don't want to know what's on your mind. I want to know what's in it. Your mind matters. As a transformational coach, my work is all about expanding awareness. In my work, either one-to-one or in training or my vlogs or indeed my book, The Sticky Book of Stuckness, What's Holding You Back, we're exploring you and awakening your spirit and inspiring change. And as I do this, it's really about learning to shift your perspective, to take a different look on life. And inevitably, when someone comes to me with an issue or a problem, then as they work with me, they learn to relax more in themselves, be able to shift the way they're thinking about whatever the issue is, and find a solution. And I help people create more flexible mindsets. And a flexible mindset means that you're focusing on your solutions, not being stuck in your problems. So my work is really, as I said, all about expanding awareness. What is awareness? It's about having a greater perspective, being able to look at life and see and understand more of what is going on by being able to see more of what is going on inside you. So if I can help you in any way, just check out cindyhearn.com. cindyhearn.com, my website, it has all the links that you need, as well as the email to contact me. And I'm happy to answer any questions or indeed to book an appointment. And as we know, the world is very small now. So whereas there would have been a time when you would have to come and sit next to me to work with me, we now don't have to do that anymore. We can work on Zoom, which is just as effective if you were in my home or my practice. The Cindy Hearn Show. I don't want to know what's on your mind. I want to know what's in it. Your mind matters. So the way that we do this show is when I have a guest, they allow me to mind travel into their mind, and we describe the mind, what it looks like, sounds like, feels like, what kind of activity is going on inside. And in this process, they're able to see more of who they are. But as well, in this process, we are all able to see so much more of who we are. Our time together is like shining rays of light down through a clouded sky. We can all see so much more. Tonight is Ask Cindy, and Ask Cindy, I will be answering your questions that you send in. So please do send them into the radio station. Any questions you have about life. And remember, don't hold back on your questions, because questions are fuel for us all. It is through the asking of the question we all have the opportunity to learn. And I'd like to thank you for all the questions you do send me, because as well, you're helping me to go down different avenues. And when I answer your questions, I have not read them or thought about them before. I just read them and answer them. So in that way, I am taking that deeper dive in myself, tapping into more innate knowledge, which we all share, and learning as we do so. So please jump in, send a request off for a question, and I will get them and be answering them. And again, a heartfelt thank you for this process, which has been a huge part of the Cindy Hearn Show for now over 10 years. Can you imagine? 10 years. Wow. I remember the first time I ever did it, I had just taken that leap into the unknown and signed up for a radio show, and then went into tons of fear, because I didn't know what I was doing or why I was doing it or who would listen or would I have anything to say or how I was going to talk every week for an hour. And this is what happens when you take a leap and you've never done something before. There's part of you that's ready to take that leap, but there's another part of you that needs to learn. And so any fears that we have about whatever decision we've made, and then start to have our second thoughts, that's just a learning curve. And so rather than give weight to your fears, just recognize that you're following a part of you that wants to do something. You've set that in motion, and the fear is just your learning curve telling you that you're going to learn as you go. How could I possibly expect myself to know what I was doing when I entered a field I had never been in. How could I expect myself to understand all the technology that I needed when I could barely use the computer? How could have I expected myself to know what I would be saying and to feel I could only draw on the knowledge I had when every week I was learning more and more and more? So the knowledge is always refreshed and deepened. So anybody out there who's taken a leap of faith, then this show is for you, really, tonight, because we're going to be talking about how we get ourselves stuck and how when we want to do something, it's so easy to pull back from it. And how does that work? And what can we do so that we trust the intuition that said, just take the leap, and not the fear which holds you back? So please, again, send in your questions. It's always of great value to me. So why? Why does your mind matter? Your mind matters because you matter. And your mind is the most intimate, personal part of yourself you're ever going to have a relationship with. And it is there to support you. And I always think that our minds are, you know, if you think about an iceberg, and a third of that iceberg is above the water, and two-thirds are below the water, that two-thirds is the deeper part of you. And we can focus on just the surface of our life, as I said earlier, or we could kind of dip down and see more of who we are. Because when we discover more of our depth, that energy is going to be reflected out into our life. And our life will take on a richness that perhaps was not there when we just focused on the surface stuff. So your mind matters because you matter. And we all know what it's like to have an unhappy mind. An unhappy mind fuels our anxiety. An unhappy mind is critical. It's that negative self-talk. An unhappy mind is often louder. We can feel it's louder on the inside of us than the outside of us. An unhappy mind keeps us very, very small and struggling in day-to-day life. So often when we get troubled in ourselves and the mind is kicking up a storm, I want you to imagine it like an unruly two-year-old throwing a temper tantrum. It really just wants your attention. It doesn't feel safe. But we can tend to try to run away from ourselves, to get away from that inner chaos. So we focus on what's around us, or we try to change our mindset, alcohol, drugs, internet, shopping, anything, just to get away from the chaos inside. But remember, your mind is your most intimate, personal part of yourself. And I also will say, the most powerful part of you. And the question is, can we run away from ourselves? That would be like the top of the iceberg, feeling that it didn't need to connect to the bottom of the iceberg. True, it can break away, but with ourselves, we kind of drag it with us. So I would advise you then, if you're struggling inside, to stop your running, to turn around and walk towards yourself, because when you do, you're putting your path, your feet upon that path of awareness. And as we get to know ourselves, if indeed you imagine your mind like an inner landscape, then maybe when you start to walk that path, the outer edges of that landscape are brambled. Or maybe the undergrowth is so strong it's hard to manage. But I can assure you, the more you persevere, you get through that early struggle. And it's certainly far less of a struggle than what you're doing when you're trying to run away from yourself. But the most wonderful thing of this process of personal awareness, that as you approach yourself and you want to get to know the you of you, the mind wants a relationship with you. It invites you inward. So now, after you've gotten through the brambles, is a beautiful summer's meadow, and you're just meandering across it. And the deeper you go into yourself, the greater your understanding. So if you imagine now that path leads down to a gentle flowing river. And this river is the river of all knowledge, wisdom, greater understanding. It's a river of love, connectedness. It's a river that we are all part of. So what this means, that as we get to know ourselves and tap deeper into ourselves, we're able to travel to this river when we have a problem and dangle our feet in it. And as we do, we open to a greater perspective and gain understanding. Now, this river is what I call the higher mind. And the higher mind is able to see the bigger picture. So if you, again, imagine the difference between a little mouse and what it can see just the end of its nose, to an eagle soaring in the thermals. The eagle has greater vision, and as it looks down, can see all the connection, can see that bigger picture. When we tap into the higher mind, we're tapping into our spiritual essence, the wisdom of the heart, and being able to tap into what's very natural in all of us just means that, again, we're able to gain clarity, not only inside, but as well for the world around us. And I always think the more of us that connect into our higher minds, the greater our understanding. But also, the more humanity we have, because we recognize that we're all connected and therefore reach out to help one another. It's just a natural thing to do. So I invite you to get to know the you of you. And in that process, again, discover the wonderment which lies within. In all my years now, well over 30, probably over 40 years of working with minds, I have never met a mind I haven't liked. Because held within that mind is the creativity and the wisdom, the perseverance, the will, that as we tap into our strength, we're able to make it our way into the world. creating a path that supports life, both inside ourselves as well around us. So, what do I mean by mind? I like to describe this because we all have our own definitions. For me, I want you to imagine my definition of mind is like each one of us stands center stage in our life. And as we're looking out to our audience, our family, our friends, our work colleagues, that is that outer world I talked about, the world of doing. But behind you and in the wings is the backstage gang. That's the producer, the director, the writers, the technicians, the tea people, the costume designers, the publicity people, and so many more that are there for you to support you as you stand center stage in your life to give your best performance. And that backstage gang is what I call the mind. It's all about that inner support and inner directive that we have always. So doesn't it just make sense that if we have all this inner directive and support for ourselves, that we learn to listen and learn to trust? Because as we do, an interesting thing happens. That stage that we are standing upon, it turns into a bridge. And now we stand upon a bridge. Why? Because the inner world is now connected more consciously with the outer world. So the inner world, the world of the mind, the thoughts, our ideas, the inspiration, the gut reactions, the feeling, the emotions, the creativity, and so much more, that inner directive and support, which is there for you always, is connected to the outer world much more actively. So you're able to access the deeper part of you to gain better understanding about what's going on around you. And likewise, what's going on around you teaches you what's going on inside you. So it's a process of really connecting with yourself more fully. And I always say that if you imagine that we are blessed enough to be born with two legs which work, and we don't ever bother thinking about what's going on inside us or get to know it, that's very much like tying up one leg and hopping on the other one. And you're hopping because you're just focusing on the world around you. You're not paying any attention to what's going on inside you. So if you see that image, then you're going to know that you're always going to be slightly out of balance and very uncomfortable. So when we put our feet upon that personal awareness and we start to discover more we are, who we are, we find a sense of balance in ourselves. We become more centered. And that's because we're utilizing the natural abilities, talents, knowledge, wisdom that we have. And we're trusting what comes from within to support what's going on around us. So it's what I call a more authentic self. Now, that doesn't mean that you've got it all together, because you don't. Who does? But it does mean that you are willing to take responsibility for thought, word, and deed, and to refine. So it's rather like taking a rough gemstone and putting it in a tumbler. You get rid of the rough edges, and then you shine that bit brighter for all of us. So in our time together, I can only offer you my perspective, and when I have a guest, the perspective of my guest. And the reason for that is because that's how I see life. I think life is how you see it. Everybody looks at life from their own perspective. And in that process of looking at life from their perspective, that is how they understand and witness what is going on around them. So to understand perspective, I want you to imagine you can take every person in the world and sit them shoulder to shoulder in a very large circle. Now, in the center of that circle, there is a shape that changes color, texture, size. That shape is called life. So doesn't it make sense that depending upon where we sit in the circle, that's how we're going to see life? We're looking at life from our perspective. And our perspective stems from our conditioning. It stems from our experience. It stems from our ancestry. It stems from all the things that have made you you. And each person is going to have a different lifestyle, live different life experience, even if you're brother and sister, or sister and sister, or brother and brother. Because we all get different, slightly different conditionings, and certainly different life experiences. So what that says is that in this very large circle of everybody sitting shoulder to shoulder, everybody is going to be looking at life and understanding it slightly different than the next person because they're looking through the glasses of conditionings. So this is where we get into a lot of conflict because when we look in the center of the circle, maybe there's something we're seeing, we understand it to be exactly like it is because it's right in front of our face as it is. But somebody else sitting in the circle is not going to be getting the same viewpoint. So that's why people get so angry about people not understanding the obvious. But they could only have your viewpoint if they were sitting on your lap, looking through your eyes. So if you are in conflict, I invite you to be willing to move around the circle and look through life as they see it. Look through their eyes. You might not agree with it, but in the very process of willingness, you will see the bigger picture. And when you see the bigger picture, a wonderful thing happens to the mind. It's like blinders fall away. The mind expands. And an expanded mind moves around the circle and therefore has a much more flexible mindset. In my work as a transformational coach, really, that's what I'm doing for people. I'm helping them to create a more flexible mindset, helping them move around the circle. They come to me with a problem, and then they're looking at it from another angle, which inevitably is where the solution is. And having that flexible mindset means that you have your mind is very creative and willing and open. When we get locked into a single track way of thinking, then your mind can become very ingrained in one path, and that's what they call narrow-minded. It simply means you just keeping everything the same. So there's no growth, there's no change, and you know, each to their own, but a flexible mindset is not as disappointing as being as a narrow mindset, because when your mind is narrowed down, it is very limited in the way that it thinks. And we have the ability to think grand things. In our time tonight, I just invite you to come and sit behind my eyes. Look at life how I see it and take what you find of value. Leave what you don't want. That's okay too. But in that process, it just means for our time together, we're together. And you know, being together in a time of such great isolation is a good thing. It's a good thing. So I've been thinking about faith and trust and this time period. And as I said last week, we've just been slightly let out of lockdown. So for the first time, people could meet six people. Nothing's open, no restaurants, no shops, no haircuts. We're all going gray over here. So it's a time of change, but I think in the whole world, I think it's the same. And it's rather reflected in nature over here as well, because generally at this time, you know, we have in England, we have wonderful springs. And whereas it's been very, very rainy forever, last week we had 2 days of amazing sunshine and 70 degree weather. And that was a couple of days ago, and today it's snowing. So it's almost like what's happening in the world is reflected in nature. Nature's trying to put forth new energy, new growth, but then it's pulling back and it's slipping back into that introversion of winter, pulling the energy down, trying to stop the growth from happening. And I have to wonder if that isn't a mindset that we're all experiencing on some level. Because of this past year and all the changes and all the insecurity, and because we're not quite through whatever we're going through. And that this is on a worldwide level, whether you're in lockdown or not. It's an energy shift. And it is undermining our confidence in the sense that it is changing how we see things. And that can be quite good, because in that change, you can have awarenesses and reevaluations of where you are and what your priorities are. And certainly a lot of people have stopped kind of zooming ahead and valuing time with family and want to incorporate that in this next chapter of life. But it is a very unsettling time. So what I'm experiencing, there are bursts of real powerful creative energy and hope and expansion, and then this contraction. So if you imagine that on an emotional level, it means you know, it's like you can kind of see where you're going and you get hopeful and you believe in it, but then all of a sudden the rug gets pulled out from underneath you and everything collapses and your energy gets stuck. You know, last September, when I was writing my book, The Sticky Book of Stuckness, What's Holding You Back, I didn't realize how timely stuckness is and how perfectly timed my book would be. And it's because the way that I look at everything, and certainly in this book, is that I get us to break everything down to energy. You're a ball of energy, I'm a ball of energy, the earth is a ball of energy, everything is energy. And for healthy energy to be productive, it's creative, it needs to flow. It needs to be directed outwards. It's like, think about nature right now. It's directing its energy into growth. It's directing its energy into blossoms. It's surging through the landscape to create the, you know, the abundance of the summer. And when that natural part of ourselves gets stuck, it's incredibly uncomfortable. And as I started this show, I said I was going to talk to people who were taking a leap and were going to go for the unknown. And then they go to take the leap, and then all of a sudden they pull back. And they pull back because self-doubt, they don't know what they're doing, they lack of clarity. They're trying to stop going forward. Whatever the reason is, no confidence, whatever the reason is, put it in terms of energy. So if you imagine I have an idea and I want that idea to happen, then in any way that our energy goes into the world, we have to make that decision for it. We have to direct it. When we make a decision, we're focusing our energy into our desire to make it happen. But then if I lose that vision, or it gets undermined, or I get into self-doubt, suddenly this energy that's going out, I'm pulling it all back in. And it's getting stuck in me. And when it gets stuck in you, we get really uncomfortable. Stuck energy is incredibly uncomfortable. It, you know, you can feed into it emotionally. So you can feel depressed, you can feel your anxiety, you can feel frustration, you can feel super critical of yourself, you can feel it physically, and certainly depending upon how aware you are of your energy, it is very much a physical feeling. So, you know, you imagine like nature is just ready to, it's just pushed out, it's pushed through the winter, it's getting ready to blossom, and then all of a sudden it retracts, pulls back. It's not a comfortable space to be in. So in the Sticky Book of Stuckness, What's Holding You Back, I identified three mindsets. And in each mindset, there are 10 ways that we get our energy stuck and what you need to do to move it. And in this book, I call it, it's not a how-to book, it's a where you are book, because as with all awareness, in order to see where you're going, you have to first see where you are. If I want to go to London and I don't know how to get there, there makes no sense of me to map out a journey if I don't know where I'm starting. And it's the same when we start to look at ourselves. We have to own where we are. There's a lot of emphasis putting on having your goals, going for your dreams. But if you don't know where you are, those goals and dreams really belong in a fantasy, because there's no earth to it. There's no practicality to it. So when I came up with the 30 stuckness, I broke them down so that it identified three mindsets. And the first mindset is lost in thought. And this is, you know, we have the amazing ability to think, and the analytical brain, you know, it can kind of process stuff. It can go into stuff. It can come up with all kinds of reasonings and arguments. But often what stops us going forward is there's too much energy in the mind. So whether it's having to get it right because you fear failure, or whether you fear change, so therefore that stops you, you pull back again, or your thinking is all negative, so it's not actually supporting your dream. There's 10 ways that we get stuck when we're lost in thought. Now, the second one is up in the air. And up in the air is when we have a slight disconnect with the world around us. So this is very true of a lot of sensitives, a lot of creatives, like myself. Because our imagination is so powerful, our earth connection can be quite weak. And so what happens there is you can... it's almost like hard to carry through. So the stucknesses are when you're stuck, you can believe you can't. You get creatively blocked. You feel a lack of joy or a lack of energy because you're not connected. And again, there's 10 ways there. And each one has its own energy. And once you understand it, you can understand how to work with it. The third one is the one I'm going to talk about, which is sidestepping. And sidestepping is when we're very uncertain of the path ahead. So what happens here is our energy shudders. It goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, but it doesn't go forward. Whereas the lost in thought, we tend to kind of go around and around and around in our head. Up in the air, we're like hot air balloons, sidestepping. The energy is shuddering because it's uncertain and almost caught between going forward and pulling back. So I wanted to just read you a little bit about the sidestepping from the book, The Sticky Book of Stuckness, What's Holding You Back. And this just talks about that mindset. Sidestepping. I instantly get a flashback to my horse. I grew up in a residential neighborhood, so to get a really good run, my horse and I would have to visit the conservation land down the street. Without a doubt, every time we reached the point where we left the road and went down a small hill to the place where we could gallop flat out, my horse would do a sidestepping dance, going neither forwards nor backwards, but prancing from side to side. Finally, on strong insistence, I got her moving ahead. Once she did, she was in her glory, being able to run, let herself go. So what was that sidestepping all about? Every time I would have a bit of a battle getting her to go where she could really have fun. It wasn't like she didn't know what was around the corner. No, she knew every stone and pebble underfoot. Of course, I also see myself doing the sidestep, the side-to-side dance, postponing doing what I really want to do, sometimes briefly until I give myself a good talking to, but other times, I deny myself the flat-out run altogether. I'm lost in sidestepping until the desire, urge, want has been covered over with the dust of my hesitation. Sidestepping is an extremely effective strategy for staying stuck. Remember, everything is energy. When we hesitate, pause, hinder forward movement, our drive dives. Looking back, I never knew why my horse insisted on sidestepping. Fear, wanting a battle of wills, a habit, drawing attention to herself, excitement, not wanting to go forward. Could have been a number of reasons. And when we get caught up in the two-step dance, it is the same for us. In the end, what are we really doing? When uncertain, we shy away from the very path we want to take, fueling feelings of discomfort. We're like a fly in a spider's web, the strands of stuckness quickly wrapping around us, wasting time and energy with delaying or denying. It's so easy to put the brakes on. Hesitation brings with it a multitude of reasons to support stuckness. But is that what we really want? Or, like my horse, is it a bad habit we're not even aware of? Perhaps at this point we need someone to come in and take control of the situation. Are we opting out of responsibility for the outcome of our actions? For many, the fairy tale in our mind supports how much easier it would be to have someone else take the reins in hand, showing us the way forward, making us do it. Another flashback to my horse. Maybe it is about power. When I had to be firm with her, perhaps there was a personal lesson there on taking control. We all have to feel confidence in the reins in our hands. Otherwise, we'll feel our fear. And do we really want someone else to make us do? That would be like riding pillion on a motorcycle, always having to go where the rider wants to go, never getting to feel the full acceleration of the wind on our face, sidestepping the power of potentiality. I'm sure you know the script by now. This is the part where you see how much you sidestep. But it is one thing to see yourself doing it and another to discover the why behind it. To release the sticky strands of sidestepping, we need to tap into self-honesty. By recognizing our default setting, owning our behavior, we can see the consequences more clearly. Every action creates a reaction. So if we want tomorrow to change, we must change what we do today. And then it goes in to list those 10 sidesteppings. And for those of you who, you know, this time period, as I said, there is a strong birth that's happening. And maybe what you were doing before has been taken away from you. So you have to come up with a new idea. Or maybe your priorities have changed. So in that process, you want something to happen that's different and new. But to be aware of how your energy moves towards your dream means you also need to be aware how you get yourself stuck. So if it is in your mind to procrastinate, waste time and energy, start but not finish, or if you want to keep everything the same, those are part of the stuckness, the sidestepping stucknesses. And I know in myself that because I look at everything as energy, that instead of blaming the world or resigning from what I want to do, when I feel my energy pull back inside me and get uncomfortable, The name of the game is to get that energy unstuck. Whenever we take a leap in our life, know that if you have desired that leap, that there's already a part of you that can do it. When I wanted to do the radio show, there was already a part of me that knew what to do. I just had to get through my fear and not allow my fear to pull me back. So we're at a time of great change, and I would say start to look at your behavior as energy, and that will help you see what's going on inside you. The sticky book of stuckness, what's holding you back, which is available on Amazon, is really a good, accessible guidebook to help you see yourself more clearly. So in closing, take a leap, make a change, use the energy that this time period is demanding that we do something different, because how we've been doing things before is not really working. So let's all step much more into a path that reflects more of who we are for all of us. The Sticky Book of Stuckness, available on Amazon. Thank you, The Cindy Hearn Show. I don't want to know what's on your mind. I want to know what's in it. Your mind matters. Have a really good week, and hopefully spring will happen over this way anyway. Take good care.